Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really getting into David Vaca's work, The Kingdom, God's Endgame.
Yeah, it's quite a read.
Definitely. And it feels like it's written specifically for you listening, if you see yourself as a kingdom reformer, maybe a creative collaborator, ready to take things to the next level.
That's right. This isn't just, theology for its own sake. Vaca presents it as heaven's actual strategic blueprint for redeeming and restoring the earth.
Okay.
So our mission here is basically to pull out the key parts, summarize them, and see how they apply, how you can actually live this kingdom life.
And the backdrop he sets is pretty dramatic, isn't it? That whole post-COVID shaking.
Oh, yeah. The crucial context.
Thinking back, it really felt like everything we just trusted. Governments, the economy, even science, law, it all seemed so fragile all of a sudden.
Exactly. That fragility, that sense that systems could just falter.
Yeah.
Vaca argues that wasn't just random chaos. From, let's say, a kingdom perspective, that shaking was strategic.
Strategic? How so?
Well, he says it served two main outcomes. First, it basically shook everyone awake, creating this deep, almost universal yearning for real truth. You know, something solid when all the relative stuff failed.
Which the book clearly identifies as Christ Jesus.
Yes. And second, and this is really core to his argument, it set the stage, a kind of divine alignment, for a massive transfer of wealth and resources.
Okay, the transfer of wealth, that's a big concept.
Huge. And the idea is these resources are destined for the Ecclesia Church, the body of believers ready to steward them for God's purposes on earth.
Right. So a prepared church needs to be ready to manage kingdom assets. That definitely sets a demanding stage.
It does.
Okay, so let's get into the core challenge Vaca throws down. The shift he calls for, moving away from just a church mindset, kind of inward looking, maybe maintenance focused.
Yeah, often just focus on Sunday services or personal piety.
Towards what he calls a kingdom mandate, which sounds much more active, focused on transformation.
Exactly. Transformation at scale. National, regional, even global impact. Not just personal salvation, but societal change.
So what is the kingdom, according to Vaca? How does he define it?
Well, critically, it's not just a feeling or a purely spiritual idea. It's presented as a governmental order, you know, the basics. A kingdom needs a king and a domain.
God is the king, earth is the domain.
At the macro level, yes.
Yeah.
But the insight Vaca really hammers home, quoting Jesus in Luke 17, is that it starts inside. The kingdom of God is within you.
So it's like an internal government first, before it shows up outside.
Precisely. An internal restructuring. A change in who rules your personal domain, which then shapes how you influence the world around you.
That brings us to the entry point, doesn't it? How do you get into this kingdom order? He talks about repentance, but maybe not in the way we usually think of it.
Right. He uses the Greek word metanoia, and it's so much more than just feeling sorry for messing up. Meta means change. Noia means mind. So metanoia is a profound fundamental change of mind, heart, and direction. It's like installing a completely new operating system.
A total surrender, then, of your own way of thinking to the king's way.
That's the idea. You might be saved in the sense of being born again, but without that metanoia, that shift in mental governance, you haven't fully embraced kingdom citizenship. You're still sort of ruling yourself.
You're still autonomous in your thinking.
Yeah. Still relying on your own understanding or the world's systems. Vaca insists that the moment Jesus is truly acknowledged as king, not just helper, savior, healer, but supreme authority over your life.
That's when things start to change externally.
That's when the reality, the power, the governmental authority of the kingdom begins to actually manifest through you into your sphere. It unlocks the mandate.
That makes sense. It's the foundational step for anyone wanting to collaborate with heaven's plans.
Absolutely essential.
So if you really want to understand this shift, to move from just consuming faith to being an active citizen under the king, you need the details. We really recommend getting the full picture. Purchase the book, The Kingdom, God's Endgame by David Vaca on Amazon in your country.
Okay, so if the kingdom is a government, it must have laws, right? A foundation.
Yeah, and this is where he contrasts human systems with God's system. He uses that parable of the two houses.
Right, the wise and foolish builders.
Exactly. Earthly governments, our laws, economic models are often built on sand. They look solid, but they're unstable, inherently flawed, Vaca argues.
But the kingdom.
Yeah.
It's established on the solid rock. Unshakable eternal principles.
Like what? What are these core principles?
Things like righteousness, justice, truth. But the way they play out, Well, they often cut right across our human nature. That's why they can feel so radical.
Give us an example.
Okay, take relationships. Our laws typically deal with the act of murder. Kingdom law, Voxa points out, goes deeper. It holds anger, the root, accountable.
Matthew 5, right?
Exactly. And even more challenging is the principle of reconciliation. The kingdom prioritizes it so highly that, Voxa notes, sometimes the innocent party is required to initiate the settlement.
Wait, the innocent party has to make the first move.
That's the radical nature of it. It flips our human sense of justice, doesn't it? Shows that restoration is valued even above personal vindication.
Wow. Okay, what else?
Another big one is the balance between love and truth. Love has to be sacrificial, the agape kind. But Voxa stresses this crucial point. Truth is always expressed in love.
Ah, that's such a fine line, but so important.
It really is, because love without truth, that's just enabling people, it's deception. But truth without love, that becomes harsh, brutal, legalistic.
Finding that balance is key to heaven's culture manifesting on earth.
Absolutely. And that connects directly to another kingdom law, stewardship. This is where that transfer of wealth idea gets practical.
How so?
Stewardship fundamentally challenges our human instinct to control, to own, to hoard. It starts with Psalm 24.1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It all belongs to God.
So the wealth transfer isn't just about money magically appearing.
Not necessarily. It's more about a transfer of management, of authority over resources, land, money, influence, technology, from those using them for selfish gain.
To those who will steward them for kingdom purposes, for advancing God's agenda.
That's the strategic heart of it. And Voxa says generosity isn't just being nice. It's the natural result of understanding stewardship. And it's generosity that unlocks heaven's supply lines, ensuring the kingdom's work is always resourced.
That really shapes the whole feel, the culture of the kingdom.
It does. It creates this culture, Voxa describes, rooted in Romans 14.100. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a culture that speaks faith, hope, destiny. And it has to be transparent because the king operates in pure light.
Okay, we've got the internal change, the metanoia, and the laws of this kingdom. What about the structure? How is this implemented on earth?
Right, the governing body. This leads us to Voxa's teaching on the ecclesia church.
Ecclesia. I know that word often gets translated as church, but you're saying it meant something different originally.
Totally different. In Jesus' time, ecclesia wasn't primarily a religious term. It was a political, governmental. It meant a called-out assembly, like a city council or legislature, that had authority to make laws and enforce policy.
So the church isn't meant to be just a Sunday gathering place.
Not according to this model. It's commissioned to be an active governmental body, built for impact, for conquest, for administrating God's will in society, not just for internal comfort.
That's a radical re-envisioning of church. How does this ecclesia actually manifest? How does it operate?
Voxa emphasizes the full activation of what Ephesians 4 calls the fivefold ministry gifts. Mm-hmm. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers.
They possess its roles.
Yes. And the point isn't just having these roles or titles. It's that when they function together, synergistically, they actually represent the fullness of Christ to the body.
Equipping everyone, not just leaders.
Equipping every single believer, including you, the listener, the collaborator, for their work of ministry, right where they are, in their sphere of influence.
Which brings us back to those seven mountains you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. That's the framework for kingdom advancement. The mountains are just shorthand for the major spheres that shape society. Government, education, business, media, arts and entertainment, family, religion.
And the idea is to influence these spheres.
To invade and transform them. It starts small. Like Jesus said, the mustard seed, the yeast in the dough.
But that small seed has the potential.
It contains the DNA of the kingdom. It's designed to grow into something massive, a mighty tree that provides structure and life within that sphere, whether it's reforming education policy, building ethical businesses, creating redemptive art.
Until, as Habakkuk says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth. That's the long-term goal.
That's the mandate. That's the end game.
Understanding how this ecclesia is structured, how it's meant to function across these mountains, that feels critical for any reformer.
It really is. Voxa lays out the strategy in detail. To get that full blueprint, we encourage readers again to purchase The Kingdom, God's Endgame by David Voxa on Amazon in your country.
Now, this all sounds very ambitious, maybe even theoretical to some. Does Voxa offer any real-world examples, people who actually did this?
Oh, absolutely. He provides historical prototypes, people who didn't just talk about it, but actually built kingdom structures.
Like who?
Well, think about John Calvin in Geneva. His driving principle was God's sovereignty over all of life. No separation between sacred and secular.
Okay. And how did that play out practically?
He didn't just preach. He created institutions. Mm. The consistory, for instance, which integrated spiritual life with civil accountability. Mm. And the Genevan Academy, its purpose was specifically to train leaders who could apply a biblical worldview across every sector, not just ministry.
So building the infrastructure for the worldview.
Exactly. Then you have someone like Abraham Kuyper in the Netherlands.
Kuyper. I know his famous quote.
There is not a square inch.
In the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine.
That's the one. He articulated this idea of sphere sovereignty, that Christ's rule applies everywhere. And crucially, he didn't just write about it. He took it seriously.
He went into politics, right? Became prime minister.
He did. He formed a political party, started a university, launched a newspaper, all explicitly to bring a Christian worldview and kingdom principles into those spheres. He governed based on these ideas.
That's taking the mandate seriously, applying it directly. And who else? Vaca mentions King David.
Yes, as a kind of Old Testament prototype. David's reign foreshadowed the kingdom because he ruled, as 2 Samuel says, with justice and judgment, those bedrock kingdom principles.
The solid rock foundation again.
Right. But Vaca also highlights David's approach to resources. He made worship central, yes, but he also strategically used the spoils of war, the wealth he acquired, specifically to advance God's purposes, like funding the future temple. It was kingdom finance in action.
So, looking at Calvin, Kuyper, David, the common thread seems to be that they didn't just proclaim the kingdom, they built things.
That's Vaca's essential point for us today. Proclamation is vital, but it must be followed by kingdom projects, building institutions, shaping policy, creating culture. That's the work of the reformer, the collaborator.
So the call to action for you listening is find your mountain, your sphere. What's the kingdom project you need to start building there?
It's about aligning the laws, the culture, the resources of your sphere with the king's rule.
Okay, let's try and pull this together. For you, the reformer, the creative collaborator listening right now, we've unpacked this call to metanoia, that deep internal shift in allegiance and thinking.
Essential first step.
We've looked at the ecclesia, not just a church service, but a dynamic governing body designed for impact, for reform.
Built for conquest, Vaca says.
And we've affirmed this mandate we all have to actively advance the kingdom in whatever sphere we're in. It's not about waiting for someday. The kingdom, Vaca argues, has landed.
And our job, as Jesus taught us to pray, is to manifest it on an earth as it is in heaven. Now,
Matthew 6:10.
Yeah. And maybe a final thought to leave you with, something Vaca doesn't explicitly focus on, but is implicit. Think about that parable Jesus told his disciples just before he left. The one about the nobleman going away.
The parable of the minas, or talents, depending on the version.
Right. And what was his instruction to his servants? Occupy till I come. Or some translations say, do business until I return.
Occupy. Do business. That sounds active, productive.
Exactly. It's not a passive waiting. It implies ongoing commitment, consistent productivity, actively building and managing the master's interests in your assigned sphere until he returns. It's a call to build until the work is done.
That's a powerful challenge, to be found busy building when the king returns.
It really is.
To fully grasp the scope of this assignment, to get the strategies and insights needed to occupy effectively, you really need the complete blueprint. We absolutely urge you to equip yourself. And by urging them to purchase The Kingdom, God's Endgame by David Vaca, today on Amazon in your country.